Good morning. Very happy to be here this morning. I always find it a great encouragement to get away from the pressures of life and come here. As I hear what the Lord has done for other people, and we sing songs together, and we're not just singing songs. We give the Lord thanks for what He's done, and the lyrics of those songs have good things in them, wonderful things in them about what the Lord can do for us, and we can come away, we can go with thanksgiving, and we can come away with hope, and we can go with appreciation and with experience and with knowledge and come away with even more of it. And so I appreciate, I agree with the psalmist that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I have a few thoughts this morning that the Lord has been impressing on my mind this week that I'd like to talk about by the help of the Lord. And I would like to do something a little bit different. I want to sing something. Join me. I'd like to sing a verse of joy to the world. So we'll sing the first verse of it. We may sing more verses, and we probably won't even sing all the verses, because what I have this morning really is way too big to give all this morning. So we'll just talk about what we can, and maybe another time we'll bring out more of it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature see, and heaven and nature see, and heaven and nature see. There's so much in those old songs, and we don't, I know some people listen to them all through the year. I usually don't, and the reason is probably more than anything because they're so special to me, I don't want them to lose their significance, and so I kind of deprive myself of them most of the year, and I cheat a little bit and may turn on a couple of them in July, but I usually wait until about this time of year and I start listening to them, and they ring true and they resonate, it seems like, deeper every year inside of me. And I'd like to turn to a scripture in the second chapter of Luke. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Very familiar story. We read this about every year at Christmas time, and shepherds were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And I'm not going to read the whole Christmas story, but I'd like to focus on the 10th verse. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel appeared unto them. It said that they saw the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were afraid. The angel said in the 10th verse, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So, I'd like to focus on the 10th verse. The angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's so much in this verse, and sometimes we know these. See, we probably, just about every one of us, have memorized these verses. And so when we say them, we just kind of tend to skim through them, and the words come automatically, and we don't really think about them because we just say them. But I want us to think about what's in this verse. He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news." But who is it? Who is it to? It says it's to all people. It's to everyone. Well, why didn't he tell everyone? He came and he brought this special message to shepherds. But the shepherds were not the only ones that heard this message. Simeon, by the Spirit of the Lord, was made known that he would not see death until he saw the consolation of Israel, the salvation of the Lord. And it was the highlight of his life to be able to hold an 8-year-old baby in his arms. What do you think of when you hold a little baby? Just some sweet, innocent little bundle, doesn't know anything. And to me, a little baby has a lot of significance. I wonder what kind of person this baby will be. Every one of us that are sitting here this morning were once 8 days old and a cute little bundle. But this baby held a lot more significance than that. Simeon, this old man that had lived all his life and seen, he'd seen all kinds of things. He said that he was a just man and devout. He looked at that baby and he didn't just say, he was so far ahead of the rulers of the Jews that they believed that this person would come that would help them to be able to tread down all the other nations, and they would break the yoke of Rome, and they would be free from their oppression, and they would laugh in the face of their enemies. Simeon didn't even believe that. He recognized that the Messiah was there, and he came and he said, "Now you can let your servant depart in peace, O Lord, because I've seen your salvation. It's here, and it's a light to the Gentiles." See, the Gentiles, the Romans were Gentiles. The Philistines probably didn't even exist at that time, but all those other nations were Gentiles. And these prophets, Isaiah and all these people, they had a vision of somebody who would come one day and be a light to the whole world. And so my message this morning is I'd like to focus on the phrase, "good tidings of great joy." And then also what he said, "it shall be unto all people." It is very easy for us in some form or fashion to forget some of the aspects of that message that the angel gave. But I would like to remind us this morning of it. Then, and I don't want to go away from this verse without reading the 13th and 14th verse. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'm going to come back to that. Let's go to Isaiah 35. Just got a lot of scripture reading this morning. I do a lot of times. I hope you don't get too bored because there's a lot in these verses. I'm not very good at speaking, but I'd like for the Word of God to speak to us this morning. In Isaiah 35 and 5, it says, "Then shall the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Remember we just read, the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And what did Jesus tell him? He said, you go and tell John, look at the things that are happening. The dumb speak, the lame walk, the blind. The blind read. Go and show John again. I'm not going to turn there, but it's in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which ye do see, do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. So Jesus said, this is the fulfillment of these scriptures. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Then it talked about a highway of holiness that... And it says, no lion shall be there. The language in Isaiah is I know all of the Bible is scripture, and it's all of it is inspired of God. But to me, the book of Isaiah is so beautiful and so deep and so rich, and it has so much in it. The book of Isaiah, you want to know what the book of Isaiah is about? It is about the coming of the Messiah. That's what it's about. It's full of prophecies of the Messiah. There are things that we can look at the book of Isaiah, and we can assign them to a future age, and the Lord's going to do this and this, and he's going to change the dispositions of all the animals. I want to tell you that the language in the book of Isaiah is spiritual. It has spiritual application for you and me right here and right now. Jesus said in Isaiah chapter 61, he stood up and read it in the synagogue, and he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, what does it say? It says that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Remember in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 41, he said, there's going to be the pine tree and the myrtle tree and the fir tree and the box tree in the middle of the desert. It's going to be, he was painting a picture of an oasis. Do you think that the Lord is going to plant a literal oasis out in the middle of the Sahara Desert? No. There's all kinds of deserts, and we fly over them and we travel through them. But what the Lord was talking about is that he was going to come and change the nature of people. When the scripture says the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the lion with the kid, and all that, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, that's spiritual language. The Lord wants to take those people who have all kinds of different dispositions. You ever see somebody that had a wolfish nature or a hoggish nature? I have. I know very well, because I had one of those natures. I had a nature that was very a churlish nature, and the Lord has been working on me, and sometimes a little bit of it shows up here and there, but the Lord helps me with it, and the Lord has done something for me that nothing else could ever do. Couldn't do it by any amount of self-control or yoga or any of those exercises or learning any of those Eastern arts, but the Lord has come and changed me into something that I wasn't. Do you know that I used to have anger so bad that it would make me, it would change the physical makeup of me, and I'd get lightheaded and I couldn't even control myself? That's the kind of person I used to be. But the Lord saved me and then said, all right, I'm going to and he began to change me right then. And he started to change, and for the last 18 years, the Lord has been changing my nature and been helping me. And I have a long ways to go, but the Lord is helping me to be more and more like Him every day. That's what the Lord, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. All those scriptures that talk in Isaiah about what the Lord is going to do. When it says to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, there's all kinds of scriptures in Isaiah and other books about how the Lord would rule with a rod of iron and how He would take vengeance and everything. Do you think that's talking about the day that the Lord is going to finally get revenge on all the people that have oppressed the children of God? No. The Lord doesn't have a controversy with the people themselves. It's with the devil. It says to set at liberty them that are bound. The opening of the prison, them that are bound. All through the Old Testament, the Bible, or the Bible speaks of sin as being several things. One, being bound, being in a prison. Another thing is that the Lord compared leprosy to sin. It's leprosy is a type of sin. It's a disease. It's something that gets on you and you can't get rid of it. You can't wash it clean. You can't do anything. The only thing, it'll eat away your fingers and your toes, and it creates great pain, and it makes you an outcast. It makes you unable to. He said you can't come into the sanctuary of the Lord if you're a leper. Well, folks, We let people in this building that are sinners, but this building is not the church of God. The church of God is everyone that is saved and washed in the blood of Jesus and has their nature changed. Nobody that's a sinner can really be part of the church of God and continue in that and say, you know what, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, but I want to be part of the church of God too. No, the Lord works with individuals that have had their hearts changed by His power. That is the way that the gospel is spread. It says in the third verse of 61, Isaiah 61, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I want to compare this with the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I don't want to forget that. So the angel, think about what the angel said. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, if the day of vengeance for our God is somehow over literal physical enemies, then the gospel, then the good news that the angel was bringing was not to all people. We forget that sometimes. The gospel is to all people, all right? The gospel is, think about all the scriptures. We'll get to that more in a little bit, but John, the first chapter, it says that Jesus was the light of men that lighteth. It was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. But I would like to read Psalms 48. Maybe we won't turn there. I'll just read it real quick. It says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. We'll go back to Isaiah 61. It says, to appoint unto them, the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The third verse, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. In Isaiah, the second chapter, and the second verse, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall ye learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now it says in the last days. All right? Well, remember the scripture that in Joel, the second chapter, it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And that scripture was quoted by Peter in the second chapter of Acts, and says that this is that which was spoken of in the prophet Joel. And where it says, it shall come to pass afterward, that word afterward really means in the last days, or the last dispensation, the time that the fullness of the gospel will be preached in the earth. We are living, if you want to call it that, we are living in the last days. This is the time. There's not another dispensation after this. And so when we read these scriptures in Isaiah, we can assign all kinds of different times and events, and we can look forward to those. But I want to tell you that if we do that, we miss the essence of what the gospel is, because it talks about a highway of holiness. No ravenous beast is going to walk therein. Folks, you and I, you know, it might be hard to see this as a prophecy of the time of the Messiah, because it says, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, we have lots of wars in our world, don't we? We have all kinds of things happening, but this is spiritual language. It's talking about when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom in people's hearts. And there's an automatic, what's the scripture say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The angel told Mary, I believe, you should call his name Jesus, because he is going to save his people from their sins amidst all of the chaos and the turmoil. You see, the light shone. Jesus is the light, and it says that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Some people erroneously believe that everyone is going to experience the light of the gospel and be saved and somehow eventually make it into heaven. But the truth is that we have to accept it. Jesus said that light is come into the world, and men hated darkness rather than light, or loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that hateth, they don't come to the light. Everything that, I'm not going to quote this right, but it says that they don't come to the light. They shrink back from it, lest their deeds shall be reproved. We have to have a turning of our hearts to the Lord. That's what John the Baptist's mission was, to preach to people that you need. The light is coming. The light is coming. This glad tidings, it's here. It's going to shine and light upon every man. You need to turn your heart to the Lord, because there's no way you can possibly see the light or comprehend what is coming to you unless you turn your heart in the direction of the Lord. Simeon, the shepherds, the wise men, those people were just ordinary folks that all they had that the others did not was that they had a heart after God, and the Lord paid them a special visit. The wise men evidently had spent years searching the scriptures, and the Lord used those scriptures to show them hundreds, maybe even thousands of miles away, that the deliverer was born. And so they came looking for him. Simeon, Don't know how much he knew, but the Lord revealed to him by his Spirit that the salvation of Israel was coming, and he had such a vision of what it was to be. He said, it's a light to the Gentiles. It's something. And then he told Mary, sword's going to pierce through your own soul also. It's like he had a vision of everything that Jesus came to do. I imagine he probably did. The shepherds, ignorant sheep herders out in the fields, maybe didn't even know how to read, maybe didn't know any of the prophecies, and the Lord came to them because, well, it doesn't explicitly say, but I am going to infer from the tenor of all the rest of the scriptures that these were God-fearing people. The angel came to them and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and the angel hand-delivered this message to them and said, this is the message. Everyone, folks, everyone that wants to have God living and dwelling in their heart, all you've got to do is turn your heart to seek the Lord, and He'll come to you wherever you're at and bring you everything that you need. The Jews, the rulers in Israel that had studied the scriptures, the doctors and the lawyers right there had no idea that their deliverer and their Messiah had been born. And when Jesus was brought into the temple, Simeon knew it, Anna knew it, but all the other people, probably the very priest that performed all the rites and everything on Jesus, probably, likely had no idea that this was the Messiah. That's how light the light of God is. It comes to all people, but it is only available to those who have a heart after God. And the Lord calls and draws and spends many years doing that sometimes. And I want to read one more scripture before we move on. It's in Micah 5 and 2. I'll just read it real quick. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. The ruler. We read in Isaiah scriptures, and I'm not going to turn to all of these. You can go home and do your own reading. But it says that the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to sit on the throne of David and all that. And then there's also another scripture that says, I am going to send you Eliakim. And he's going to have he's going to have keys. And you know that speaking is a prophecy of Jesus? We have to take these things spiritually, and that may the Lord help us that we'll have the understanding that we need. The last chapter in the Bible, in Malachi, the fourth chapter, says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord. Elijah did not come back in a physical sense, but John the Baptist did. And Jesus said, no. They're looking for Elijah. Elijah's already come. You see, they had to have some spiritual understanding that the Lord, Jesus said, whoever hath will be given, and whoever hath not, to him will be taken away, even that he hath. That I'm actually getting into the second message here, and it's a whole other message. We don't have time for it. But Jesus said, Elijah already came. This was John the Baptist he was talking about. May the Lord help us that we will be able to get the good out of these scriptures, because if we don't, we miss the very essence of why he came. We have Christians in the world doing many things that are so contrary to the gospel, and it's because almost every time that they don't understand the message of the gospel. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we forget that. And we go and we fight one another and we make war and we justify doing this or that. But the fact is that that the Lord came for all people. I'd like to underscore that. Let's sing one more verse of joy to the world. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as
as far as the cursing bound.
Now I'd like to just read a few scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:21 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And another scripture in Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." I want to tell you that there is in the world an idea, and it's called a limited atonement. All right? That's what it's called. It's called limited atonement. The idea is that Jesus' atonement was limited to those who God would call and eternally save. And it was something that was irresistible. And that if you are one of those who is predestined, that the Lord will come overshadow you with His grace, and that you will be saved. And that's a doctrine that's very popular. I don't know how else to read this verse than to think that all mankind is included in this. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." When Jesus came, the good news was for everyone. I can look somebody in the eye that's on the street and I can say, "Jesus died for you." Because He did. Jesus died for Judas. Jesus died for Pilate. Jesus died for Barabbas. Every one of those. But not all obey the gospel. The scripture talks about in Romans 10, it says, "Have they not heard? Their sound went out into all the earth, everywhere. Everywhere you can find it." There's a scripture, another scripture in Isaiah that I'm thinking of. It says, "The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord." I want to get one more in Isaiah 44:23. It says, "Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it." I'm going to sing another verse of "Joy to the World." Listen to this. "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy." So in Isaiah 44:23, it says, "Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel." And I think again of the scripture that says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." You remember the scripture where Jesus said upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. And what Jesus was talking about is that He came to set up His church. He came to set up His church. His church is here. It's here right now. It's not your group and it's not mine. It's not in your building and it's not in mine. It's not this building necessarily, but it's in our hearts. Everyone that has been saved is automatically part of God's church. Everyone that has been cleansed and changed is able to walk on the highway of holiness. And we don't have to fear. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of those that kill the body, because they can't do anything after that. When we're walking on that highway, all we have to think about is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to live? Nobody has the ability to take away my salvation. Nobody has the ability to send me to get in between me and my Jesus that saved me. I have the option in my life of having, it's my choice, but I can have a free, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstances come my way. I can have that personal connection because I'm walking on that highway. Nothing on there is going to come on that highway that can overthrow what I have in Jesus Christ. And it's available to everyone. It says that as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In the 21st verse, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death. It's talking about something else reigning. This is what Jesus came to do, is to destroy the power of sin that bound people up. You don't, I want to tell you something this morning. I don't, it's not anything of myself, but I don't have to go and steal if I'm tempted to steal. I don't have to lust. I don't have to do those things because the power of Jesus in me is greater than those powers. Don't have to go rob the bank, and I don't have to do any of those things. It's not that I can't do them. I don't have to do them. Those things are horrible. They bind you and they create a slave out of you. It says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And there are so many other scriptures and prophecies about Jesus, what he came to do, what he came to bring. And I love to think about it at this time of the year. And the Lord has just been talking to me about some of it. Maybe we already know these scriptures, but I think it's good for us sometimes to be refreshed and reminded in our minds of the wonderful gift that Jesus came to bring. It said, glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Folks, the Lord gave us something. Says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a literal city. It's not a literal kingdom. It's not a place. It's not a city. It's not anything like that. But it is a city called Zion that's spiritual. The language is spiritual. It's the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do in the Old Testament. It's Mount Zion. Mount Zion today is the church of God that Jesus came, not. We stick a sign out in the front there and say, this is the church of God. No, we're not. We are not exclusively the church of God. Hopefully, by faith, by the help of the Lord, we're part of the church of God. And the church of God meets here. And who knows how many people are in the church of God. But that's what Zion is. That's what Zion is. And one of these days, we're all going to get to go and see Jesus face to face and thank him for that. I want to just leave us with one more little thought where it says, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I referenced the scripture a little bit ago. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to bring us these things. But we have to let them reign. It says, let the peace of God rule in their hearts. Folks, something is going to rule in your heart. Something is going to rule. Something always has to rule. There will be something that is reigning in your life. But it's available. The peace is available. Joy is available. And righteousness is available. You pray for me.